Good morning. There we go. Welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. We are so glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community this morning. In your bulletin, there are announcements and also calendars to let you know the different ways in which we are church together. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you, or there will be an elder at the communion table following worship to receive your questions and your comments. We have a few announcements this morning. We'll get started with Anne Marie.
Good morning, everyone. For the past few weeks, I was announcing that we were going to have the best Jamaican dinner ever, and we sure did deliver. So, thank you so much to all the people who donated food, who gave us monetary donations, who purchased tickets, who came to the event, who volunteered at the dinner. We served about 89 people, including takeouts, and we raised over $1,300. So the Crossdales, the Ruchans, and the Sims, do thank you very much for your support and for coming to the dinner. And the people who are going on the mission trip in August do thank you, because the money raised will help to offset some of the expenses for this trip to Jamaica in August. So we do thank you again, and we are very grateful for your support. Thank you so much.
And I'd like to thank you all that fixed the dinner for us. It was absolutely wonderful. Quite the great event. Also, I'd like to remind the junior highs that the work project begins tomorrow, and to come meet here at 9:30. Parents, I can't guarantee that anybody will be here before that, so 9:30 is when you can be sure somebody will be here. Bring your lunch and come prepared to have a great time. Thanks.
And also a quick reminder for trustees who are in worship this morning, you do have a very quick meeting following worship right here in this sanctuary. And now let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God.
Thank you. Please join me for the call to worship. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us.
We come to God confessing our sins, we can be assured that God hears us and forgives us over and over again. Please join me in the call in the litany prayer of confession in the bulletin. Holy God, open our eyes to the presence of your Spirit upon us, within us, among us, for our apathy in the presence of oppression. Forgive us if we have contributed to the broken heartedness of anyone. Forgive us for our participation in systems that enslave. Forgive us When we are cynical to your good news, have mercy and open our hearts. When our mouths remain too tightly closed, loosen our lips with songs of praise. Hear our prayers, O God, and forgive our sins. We ask you now, O God, to hear our silent prayers of confession. Amen. Our hope is in the Lord, our God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. The Lord carries out justice for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry, and sets the prisoners free. In Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. Praise the Lord. Next week, 17 seventh and eighth graders will be participating on the Junior High Mission Work Project, along with three adults. And so I'd like to invite Keith Hadley forward, who will commission this wonderful group. And then I'd like for the young people to come forward, as well as the advisors. I'll read your names out. Shannon Belt, Ryan Birkbeck, Samantha Berkovich, Maya Chorkola, Allison Cook, Tommy Cook, Carlton Crane, Melina Indolesky, Jacob Frist, Kyle Klein, Abigail Jarvis, Lauren Jarvis, Michael Hassenlop, Chris Lewis, Audrey Molina, Ben Tuttle, and also Abby White. In addition, Carol Bosley and Dave Bosley.
You advisors have to be quicker than that. You'll never keep up. But you know that already. Junior High Mission Work Project participants, this week you will be reaching out to those in our community that need your help. On Monday at Salem United Church of Christ, you will set tables, prepare food, serve lunch, and wash dishes as you feed the hungry. At Maplewood Park on Tuesday, you will lovingly clean the playground area for neighborhood red children. On Wednesday, you will be gardeners helping some of our church family members in their flower beds. On Thursday, you will run a carnival for the residents of the Episcopal home. This will be a week full of discovery for you. From the beauty of our city to the challenges of urban poverty, you will learn about Rochester, about your friends, about yourself, and about serving God's people. Do you promise to be open to the teachings of this experience? If so, please say, I do. God calls us to serve those with needs. As participants on the Junior High Mission Work Project, you are responding to God's call. Will you treat the people you meet, your friends, your advisors, and yourself with respect and compassion? If so, please say, I do. At times, you may feel uneasy by unfamiliar surroundings. You may be tired by the hard work. Will you promise to encourage each other and rely on God when times are hard? If so, please say, I do. Will you, the people of Gates Presbyterian Church, promise to pray for these Junior High Mission Work Project participants? If so, please say, I do. Let us pray. God of all people, be with these mission workers as they seek to serve you by serving your people. Grant them courage to reach beyond themselves to those who are in need of help. Help them to better comprehend the challenges of poverty, the wisdom of the aging, and the joy of serving. We pray that they will know you better as they work together, serving you and your people. Amen.
I'd like to invite the children forward. Good morning. I'm so glad to see you this morning. How many of you came Thursday night to the family fun night? It's okay. We had a great time, didn't we? We learned a lot about Jamaica. We had fun together. And we learned a Bible verse. The Bible verse was, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity." And Mrs. Sidori taught us a dance to help us remember the Bible verse. So I ask her to teach all of you that dance today, and those of you that were here on Thursday night, you can help the others. So Mrs. Sidori?
Well, we sing a song while we dance. And we all know how bad Mrs. Sidori sings, right? So I really do need your help. Could we just practice the song one time? I see some familiar faces here that already know that song. So please, don't leave me by myself. And any adults that were there, help me out. Okay? Let's sing the song once, and then we'll do our dance. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for people to live together in unity, to live in unity. Ready? La, la, la. In unity, to live in unity. Are you ready? La, 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 la. Well, we have to do better than that. Let's stand up. Stand up and let's hold hands and make one great big circle. And let's back up closer to the communion table so we have a little space. So back up. Come on, I have some veterans here. You know this song. Come on, girls. Monica. Are you ready? You want to? Are we ready? We're going to circle around to the right. And see. Are you ready? Let's go. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for people to live together and with unity. To live in unity. La, la, la.
The first reading of the word this morning is Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord.
Our second scripture reading for this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 61. As a congregation that follows the assigned scripture text most Sundays from the Revised Common Lectionary, we most often hear these words on the third Sunday of Advent, so right before Christmas. Meditating and praying and studying this scripture this week, I have found it incredibly powerful to hear and read these words from the prophet in a different time of our church year, to hear the calling of God's people to work for justice in the world, and to have the opportunity to share in the stories where such encouragement and hope are both physically and communally present. This morning, as part of our summer worship series focusing on mission, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Don Bunjorn, who serves at Grace House Ministries here in Rochester. Some of the facts and statistics have been running there on the screen, and we'll continue to have those up there for you to read. Pastor Don and I are going to be co-preaching this morning, coming from two very different traditions. One, as you all know, where I am well scripted. Pastor Don, the Spirit moves. I'm going with Pastor Don this morning and trusting the Holy Spirit to show up with both of us. A bit unscripted, but I still have a few notes. I can't, you know. But before we hear from the Holy Spirit, Pastor Don and myself, from the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory, and they shall build up the ancient ruins, they shall raise up the former devastations, they shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among nations, and their offspring among all peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all nations. So it was a few months ago, and I should warn you, Presbyterians, I'm going to step away from the pulpit, okay? Tough for me too. Pastor Don and I had the opportunity to meet a few months ago. Our congregation has been active in Grace House Ministries now for quite some time, and I believe it's important that we not only send our monetary and physical donations, but there's something about showing up, being present, hearing stories, building community where the Spirit of God is present.
Amen.
And had the opportunity to meet Pastor Don and learn more about Grace House, to to see those pictures firsthand. But Pastor Don's going to start off by sharing a little bit about Grace House, a little bit what I've seen and what I know and what he knows.
Well, I want to say that I really appreciate everything you guys have done for Grace House, through Dottie and Jim and some other people here in the church, and Pastor Melissa now and Pastor Carol. We've been connected about 5 years, and we've seen some men come and be rescued through your donations and through your prayers and through your love. But one of the things I need to tell you about, and so you understand how Grace House came about a little bit, is that I too once was a prisoner. I too once was addicted to drugs. I too once was a criminal. And I was in jail. And God rescued me in jail. And he touched my life. Someone walked down the aisle and offered me a Bible and offered me salvation. And I took it. And my life was radically changed. I'm not going to tell you the whole story how I got there. It's a sad story how I got there. But it's a really joyful story how I came out of there and what God did. And God led me into churches and led me into people who love God. My parents were going to a church here in the town of Greece, and I connected to my parents again, which I wasn't connected for years. And they groomed me, and they loved me, and they put up with me. Because I still had a lot of baggage. I still had a lot of problems. My mouth was not perfect. My attitude was not perfect. But they groomed me, and they loved me, and they showed me the scriptures. And the scriptures started working in my soul, started working in my life. And I started realizing, I don't have to live that way anymore. There's a better way to live. But you know something? I didn't know that until I stepped into a church with some people, until some church people came around me. And then God gave me the vision, purpose, and destiny. He started showing me that I saved you for such a time as this. I want you to go back and get those other guys. I want you to go back and tell them what happened to you. I want to go back and tell them that they don't have to live that way anymore. They don't have to talk like that. They don't have to act like that. They don't have to be addicted. They don't have to live a life of pain. They don't have to medicate the pain and the hurts that happened to them. And guess what? We went back through the church leadership. We were able to start Grace House, and we were able to take six guys in the first year, 2008, and it didn't work out too well at first because none of the guys believed what we were trying to do, because some of the other transitional homes in town were just throwing a mattress on the floor, throwing some food in the cupboard, and saying, see you later. But we had so much more for them because God had so much more for us. We built in a structured environment, an accountability environment, an environment where you had to make your bed. You had to get up by a certain time. You were accountable to keep your hygiene in place. You were accountable to keep your clothes in place. You were supposed to make your bed. You're supposed to do your chores. Oh, my goodness. Why do I got to do all these things? You know, it's like bringing a child again back into the family and creating that family environment that they never have. Many of these guys came from broken families and broken situations, and eating cereal out of a cereal box, and watching TV on the floor, that the TV's on the floor and there's no furniture in the house. So many stories I can tell you about their background, that they had no idea what was right or wrong. They had no idea how to live. They had no idea how to take care of themselves, because there were so many dysfunctional families and broken families in our community.
And that was sitting down this week with a few of the folks who have graduated from Grace House but keep coming back because of the life of the community there, and talking with a few folks who are current residents, and having had this Isaiah scripture passage in my heart all week, what really spoke to me in a way that never had before, because we always hear it during Christmas in this joyful time, are those verses in chapter 61 about the sadness and the sorrow and the mourning and the grieving. And those were the words that I kept hearing over and over again in the stories that those men shared with me about their lives. So it's not just taking these children in, as the metaphor you use. There's this deep sadness that Grace House is a part of.
Amen.
In bringing the hope of God in the midst of that. Talk to us more about those challenges, of that tension of the grief and the hope.
Well, that's what it is. The guys will come in from jail. They're assigned to us by the state of New York. We have a contract with the state of New York. And so what happens is they deem them homeless. So there's heel marks coming all the way into the door to begin with. So they don't want to be there. They don't think they have to be there. And they just think that they can do what they want. And that's how they wound up in prison in the first place. You know, same thing as myself. But the point of it is that when they get there, we start loving them in an atmosphere that they've never tasted of before. You see, our staff is trained to show the mercy, the kindness, and the love, and the gratitude of Christ through everything that we do. So we don't yell at people when they don't do things. We just, you didn't make your bed today. You need to make your bed. Come here. Come on. Okay, Don, I don't want to make my bed. Okay, then I'll have to restrict you to the house for the day then. You can't go anywhere. Oh, I'll make my bed now. You see, so it's a process of training them. And as we do that, we start hearing these things bubble up out of them, you know. And we start hearing these pains come out of them. And we're saying, gee, I know a way that might help you with that pain. And they say, what's that? I said, it's the love of Christ. That's what helped me with my pain. And so you see these guys start moving into the Bible studies. You see them start moving into, Don, how do I get like you? Or Marion, how do I get like you? Or Melissa, how come you're so nice? How do I get like that? I've always wanted to be that way. How do you do that? I said, well, you don't do it on your own. Let me tell you. You can ask any church member. You know, any place you go. We all have to work this out in the process of knowing Christ. And a lot of these guys will start connecting to their God and their love of Christ, and they start realizing that they can change too. But you hear these stories that are so deep. Broken homes, broken families, alcoholic and drug addicted fathers and mothers, and taking food from the children, taking the rent, having no place to live, winding up under bridges. A lot of guys that came into Grace House in 2008 on were under bridges. And we went under the bridges and we rescued them and we brought them back. And we said, we got a place for you. Come with us. And it's just wonderful how lives have changed. Like you saw in the statistics here, 540 guys have gone through the program, have realized that we're not about to take something away from them, but we're about to give something to them. Complete medical. All the medical is covered. We found grants through the state of New York, through the federal government, to get all their medical covered and to get all their prescriptions covered, including eyeglasses and hearing, too. So if you got a hearing problem, you come in, we can get you connected to a doctor and get you a hearing aid. If you need glasses, we can get it. If you need dentistry, we can get you dentistry. Because they are homeless and they're poverty stricken, they come under a grant in the state, and we have that in place for them. And then we grow them into the place where they can actually become productive. Because the first 30 days is about getting them healthy and getting them stable. And then we talk to them and say, what would you like to do? What do you mean do? We've always been on entitlements. We've always just lived off the state. We've always just got food stamps. That's all we ever did. Because we didn't know anything else. I said, no, God made you for a reason, for a purpose. What's that purpose? Well, I've always wanted to be a carpenter. Then let us help you. And as I show Pastor Melissa and some other, we're building schools now. We've set up entrepreneurship programs. We've got GED in place. We've got college prep in place. And so there's no excuses for being on the entitlements unless there's a mental health problem or there's a physical problem, and we help with those too. So there's a lot of things that we look at, the holistic person, and we say, where do you want to go?
Do you want to? Pastor Don, you mean you treat them like children of God?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. And they're shocked by it, too.
And you know,
they are shocked.
They are shocked. And sitting and talking with folks this week a little bit more, I heard the story of the prison system, as someone who had been incarcerated for over 35 years.
37.
37 years. Came out, and they lost his birth certificate. And essentially, what happened is this man did not exist.
He was a man without a country.
He was a man who did not exist. If you think about all of what is afforded to you because of that piece of paper, this man did not exist. And it took over 9 months, nine months,
exactly.
To secure. And so in that limbo time, he could do nothing.
He couldn't get any benefits. He couldn't get any food stamps. He couldn't get any nothing. We took care of him all that time. Made sure that he had everything that he needed. And he's very grateful for today. Ralph
is a great
Ralph
guy sitting him. Down and listening to his
He comes
story.
Every week. He says, Don, we're gonna, now he's living on his own. He's he's volunteering in a couple of places, and he's helping. He's going to school. He's doing a bunch of things. He's 58 years old now, and he's looking for a place to work. But, you know, when he's 58 years old, sometimes people kind of go like, you want a job? You know, so the poor guy's dealing with that. But he has his desire, and he wants to give back because he sees he's been served.
Grace House does a fabulous job of really embracing people as children of God and not just projects.
Exactly.
To be fixed.
They're all people.
They're all people.
Everybody's
first.
People. Everybody's
people
equal.
First.
Everybody is the same to me in the eyes of God.
Yeah.
And when they come into Grace House, the first thing that I tell them, today is a new day for you. Forget about everything that's happened in your past. Let's start today over again. Today's a whole new day. And they just go, are you serious? Don't you know what I've done? And I said, God doesn't care. God doesn't. He already went to the cross. He already died. It's all been taken care of at the cross. Today's a new day. There is no degree of sin. Come to me. Let's talk about it.
And congregations like ours and other organizations that support Grace House, we are not necessarily responsible for giving these men their lives back. Those men are responsible for rebuilding
exactly.
their lives.
And that's what Grace House does. They give them that environment to say, you have this chance now to start this all over again. It's a mulligan. Let's do it, guys. You guys understand what a mulligan is. It's a do-over. It's a do-over. You know? How about some questions? Any questions real quick?
Oh, now he's really stepping outside Presbyterian comfort zone. Woo!
Just
all right,
thought.
Pastor Dunn. This may take a minute.
Yes, ma'am. Long-term care is what happens is the program is designed for 90 days. So basically the first 30 days, we get you healthy, find out where you're going. The second 30 days, we find out how we can get you there. The last 30 days of the 90-day program at the Norton Street is where do you want to go now and what do you want to do and how can we help you get there? Do you want to get your own apartment? Do you want to stay with us for a while? Do you want to try to reunify with your family? And we help with all those things too. So they have choices at the 90-day, 60-day, 90-day mark. And at that point, a lot of them will say, gee, Don, I really feel comfortable here. Can I stay for a little longer? I want to go to college or I'm going to school. I'm in a training program. Or I've got some mental health issues. I'm still trying to work my way through this. I'm not comfortable in the community, in the public yet. And so we take the long-term houses and we use them for that type of work where they have some more choices on their own, some more responsibility on their own, keeping the house clean. They might not always have a supervisor over them at that point. We would check in once a day, maybe twice a day, or some overnight supervisors would be there. Caretakers would stay overnight in the house. But during the day, they would have freedom. So it gives them more a sense of responsibility, and it also gives them an opportunity to go to college. I got one guy just graduated from MCC. He was with us for 2 years. Mm-hmm. He stayed 2 years with us, and now he's got his degree. He's actually got a job. He's doing very well. I have two guys that came through the house that are actually going to Bible school right now. One of my desires, I was telling Pastor Melissa, was to open up a Grace House church and let the inmates start their own church. Again, she said I'm pretty crazy, so.
The kingdom of God.
You know? Well, I read it in Acts someplace. They all got together. Nobody went to Bible school. Kind of like, and everybody just brought everything together, and they all, and somebody was, more were added to the church every day. Well, that's what's happening at Grace House. It's like the book of Acts. People keep coming in. Now families are coming in, and we're helping children. We're helping wives. We're helping mothers and fathers, and you're praying together and teaching them and plugging them in the churches.
There's a question all the way in the back. You'll have to use a big
yes,
voice.
Yes, ma'am. Well, what we're looking for is mentors, people who want to go out and have a cup of coffee with them. People who want to take them out to dinner. People who want to sit down and love them and teach them maybe about what life is really about. What life is, what our concept of community is. One of the courses that we teach at Grace House is citizenship and what's your responsibility as a citizen and what's your, like for instance, if you're driving by a house and you see the lawnmower in the yard, it's not yours. It belongs to that house. You know, these guys don't know that. I had one guy tell me one time that he used to steal from Walmart because they had insurance. I go, where's your brain? Don't you understand that you stole that? Now the insurance premium just went up. So now the product that person has to go, it costs that person more money to buy that product now. So there still was a victim here. Oh, no, that was a victimless crime. I said, no, there wasn't. And so these guys have some strange thinking, and they were taught some strange stuff. And so we have to unpack their bags. And so mentoring is one of the things that unpacks the bags. And you start putting good stuff back into the luggage. And you take some junk out of the trunk is what I kind of call it. You know what I mean? There's some junk in the trunk, and we need to get it out.
Amen. So we are going, yes, this
prepare?
Is your transition. Do you like
I'm
that?
I'm transitioning
that, all right.
now.
And I'm going to transition back to where I'm comfortable. There we go. Good. Take a big, deep breath. Don is going to offer a song of response that really does a wonderful job of proclaiming the good news in the midst of our questions. So what can we do? How is it that we as a community of faith can respond? And to really take heart the words of the prophet Isaiah and to start to wonder out loud, what does the world look like? When we stand together as a sign of God's blessing and live as people of the good news of liberation, justice, and comfort in such a way that the world takes notice and is drawn to the ways of God.
This is kind of a strange song, but I think you'll enjoy it. It's not really poking fun at the church, but it's just speaking to all of us as a community and how we should live. Whoops, wrong song. Wait a minute. That one's called Prodigal Song. This one here is called the Steeple Song. I used to do music. I used to be the worship leader in my church. When God brought me out of prison, I was one of those coffee house guys that would sing songs. I don't care how many buses you own, size of your sanctuary. It doesn't matter how steep your steeple is, sitting on a cemetery. I don't care if you pave your parking lots or put pads upon your pews. What good is a picture-perfect stage if you're missing all the cues? I don't care if your pastor is superpower and your program's always new. What you need is love and truth. Men are gonna come to you. Doesn't matter that you know the Bible if it's all just in your head. The thing I need to ask you, have you done the things I've said? Do you love your wife? Her and for your children, are you laying down your life? What about the other? Are you living as a servant to your sisters and your brothers? Do you make a poor man beg you for a bowl? Do the widows and the orphans cry alone. I don't care if you pray for miracles. I don't care if you speak in tongues. I don't care if you said you love me. Every song you sung, doesn't matter that you sacrificed the praise loud enough to raise the dead. Thing I need to ask you, have you done the things I've said? Do you love your wife? For her and for your children, are you laying down your life? What about the others? Are you living as a servant to your sisters and your brothers? Do you make a poor man beg you for a bowl? Do the widows and the orphans cry alone. Lord, when were you a prisoner that we did not come to you? When was it that we saw you sick that we didn't follow through? Every time you turned your head and pretended not to see, when you did it to the least of these, you did it not to me. Do you love your wife? For her and for your children, are you laying down your life? What about the others? Are you living as a servant to your sisters and your brothers?
Do you make a poor man beg you for a bone? Do the widows and the orphans cry alone?
Amen.
Amen, and thank you, Pastor Don, for your leadership this morning.
Thank you.
For folks who didn't have a chance to ask any questions, Pastor Don will be standing outside of these doors this morning and offering more information about how individually you might connect to Grace House. And of course, we as a congregation have a variety of ways in which we do that. And one, you can take a look right outside the sanctuary there on the clothesline, opportunity to donate some of the items needed there at Grace House. So we come together now in a time of prayer. And I invite you to share your prayers of joy and your prayers of concern. Just raise your hand high enough that the usher can see if you would like to share that concern or joy out loud.
Jeannie Bauman. Prayers of thanksgiving for my dad this week. Started with heartburn on Sunday, had angioplasty on Tuesday, is home, and is now arguing with my mom about what he can and can't do. So thank you, Lord.
Thanks be to God. Prayers for my friend's cousin, Joanne, who was in the Wheatland car crash.
Prayers for them.
Barb Chapman. I sat in the pew last week, and I was remiss for not standing and saying something at that time. Velta Roshan stood last week, and with tears in her eyes, lovingly told of the pride and love she and JC had in hearing and seeing their son preach in the church that he is assigned to this summer in Allentown. I got tears in my eyes. I had chills, and I sat there. So I vowed to myself that I would not sit there this week. And I hope that Velta and JC feel the love and pride we have in them and in their son. And I ask you to join me in celebrating a child of GPC from yesteryear.
Amen. Amen.
We'd like to ask for prayers for a good friend of ours. If you heard this week on Wednesday in the city, a young 24-year-old man was killed. Somebody turned in front of him. He was on a motorcycle. Well, this is a good friend of ours, and just a year ago, end of June, she lost her husband.
Oh.
And a few weeks ago, I was talking to her, and she was saying how difficult it had been, but she was getting there, and then this happened. So we'd like for you to ask to keep that family in your prayers.
Prayers. And a prayer of joy this morning as the Vander family celebrates Joanne's birthday. Happy birthday, Joanne. Let us continue our time of prayer. In a cynical and despairing world, O God, give us a prophetic voice to proclaim your hope. In this violent and angry world, O God, give us a prophetic voice to proclaim your peace. In a dismissive and disinterested world, God, give us a prophetic voice to proclaim your compassion. And in this lonely and inhospitable world, O God, we ask that you give us voice to proclaim your love. And where there is grieving and weeping, O God, give us voice to proclaim your joy. May we be so captivated by your hope, O God, that we cannot help but to whisper, to sing, to enact the message of your reign, which is always coming into our world. And may our prophetic lives be channels of your restoring grace wherever we may go. This morning, loving God, we hold in our prayers the ministry of your people at Grace House. We hold in prayer Pastor Don, the Reverend Jim Crowley, and the staff at Grace House for the ministry they are committed to on your behalf. We also pray for the residents, the graduates, and the men who don't make it through the program, for the challenges that those who are recently released from prison face of unemployment, addiction, broken relationships, and loneliness. We pray for the hope they may come to know through the mercy and love of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So that you're ready, we are not singing the doxology again this morning, but following the offering, we will be singing just once through and in English this week, Live Into Hope, which is in your blue hymnal, so you may want to find it while the offering is being taken. So we celebrate all the many blessings in which God has given us through hope and the many relationships and ways in which we are blessed. Let us celebrate those blessings this morning by offering a portion of those back to God. Celebrating. It's all right. You guys keep going. We'll pray. Go ahead.
Lord, we thank you for joy and for praise. And thank you for these gifts that we bring. We pray that they will be used for places like Pastor Don and for other places in the world where people are in need, and that it will go with our own people as they go out in their
Amen. That I asked at the end of the sermon, what does the world look like when we stand together as a sign of God's blessing and live as people of good news, liberation, justice, and comfort in such a way that the world takes notice and is drawn to the ways of God? What does that look like? It looks like the community at Grace House. It looks like serving a meal at Salem. It looks like caring for God's creation in the midst of this city, of caring for God's creation in the midst of a home that has been so nurtured for many years. It looks like fun. It looks like joy, and it looks like hope. Go out into this world filled with the love, hope, joy, and grace that God has blessed us and this world with now and always. Alleluia. Amen.
The Son of God enfold you with His Spirit and His love. Let God fill your heart and satisfy.